And Carter by Strus. Antetokounmpo takes it right down and drives into Love. And Giannis is hurt. Down. And Giannis,
I think he's holding them back.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, gentlemen, we've been waiting all day for Sunday night. I can think of 100 things that would have been more fun, including a colonoscopy and somebody just kicking me square between the legs, and I can't even, you know, watching Captain Marvel 2 and all manner of other things. How are we doing? The Bucks go down 0-1. Giannis is either going to be back for game two or going to be out for 5 years. There's no in between. But, you know, at least we got the Chris Middleton game and a loss. How are we doing after being embarrassed soundly at home with the... Oh, I'm sorry. Am I giving my opinion by saying we lost at home to with the whack court and a whack home crowd? Or there's some other takeaways to be taken from this game?
Well, obviously the home crowd wasn't great. Obviously it was also deflated pretty severely, so they have an excuse at least. I'm not saying they would have been loud if we were good, but like, yeah, I mean, obviously disappointing, but I'm a glass half full when the glass is technically one third full kind of guy. When it's worse, it actually just helps my mentality. So Giannis, look, out of all the guys to get hurt, it hurts that it's Giannis because that means we have a less chance of winning, but it's also the best because at least that dude I know is going to do everything he can to get back out there. If he can't go, like, he came out, he stayed on the court 2 minutes after he was severely hurt, went back, still came back out and tried to give it another go. So Giannis will do everything he can to get ready. And in that way, I'm positive. But that being said, we're going to need a real coach if we're going to beat Miami without Giannis. Or we need Grayson to break someone else's hand as well.
Kendrick, what you thinking, man?
They look just like what happened. They've been off for several days. Drew was off. He wasn't doing his thing. He seemed a little bit even hesitant after he missed a few. What I was disappointed in, I mean, get to analysis of his game, was that he didn't do much to create for others. But I'm not very worried. They just look rusty. At least Chris looks sharp.
This just in.
Yeah. I'm just about to do it. Go ahead.
We're getting text messages live on the air. According to Twitter account, Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer tells reporters that Giannis Antetokounmpo has a back contusion and the x-rays were clear. So
yeah,
I hope this isn't like a your results were negative, which means it's actually good, where it's positive is actually you're gonna die kind of situation.
Yeah,
but we got the medical expert. What are you thinking? Let's get right into the medical, Kendrick. Back contusion that our x-rays are clear. Your medical professional opinion. Are they just selling something that's being good, or is Giannis going to be back very soon?
Well, let me just jump in and say that what movies have taught me is what you need is to have him tied by a rope and punched in the back and then hang in the prison until he can stand. And once he can stand, then he can start training again.
You forgot one step. You need a group of middle-aged to elderly men chanting, he's hoss, hoss, over and over again while he tries to ascend back up.
I think that he just couldn't run. The pain was so much, so jarring. I think he'll be all right. I mean, knowing Giannis, I think that he's still going to be sore. When do they play again? Wednesday?
Yeah.
He'll be okay, but in that game, he won't be 100%, and that's going to be his Drew game. So we're going to need Drew to step up. Chris can drop down, but we need Drew and Brooke. I mean, my goodness, talk about the tale of, you know, two seasons. I mean, it's playoff season. It's 0-0s all over again, and those two came out. I mean, a lot of assists for Drew, but Brooke didn't do anything, and Bam was just working that fool. 81% free throw shooter, you letting him shoot it a step in front of the free throw line every time. It was
but Bam stinks, right? That's the shot we want him taking. Bam only had his season average, which is 20, and think of the shot selection you remember him getting. Like, we want Bam shooting that mid-range shot. That's what they kind of, like, they shot, what, over 60% from three?
Bam
was probably like 40% on that floor.
That's a minus 10 if we're comparing the positions or whatever the positions they're guarding. Brook had 10 points. Four rebounds and one assist, you know, and three blocks. I guess that's pretty good.
No, so I'm not saying he won his position, but everyone else lost much more egregiously because they shot ridiculously from three. So your plus minus for him is not as bad as anyone else who guarded any of the three-point shooters who completely went off because they did that double screen and they just weren't missing, right? We got to hope Kevin Love cools down, of course, because, like, he looked like Horford, right? I'm going to make every open shot
exactly like that.
Man, they really got to do something about charges. I mean, it's not just Giannis. It's other players throughout the league. It's just stupid to continue to allow guys to jump on their dudes that are in the air. It's just dumb. You know, narrow it down to the guy that's actually defending him that you can call the charge on or something. Something needs to be done to work that out because guys are – they're getting guys hurt. And I'm telling you, if it were me, especially if I was a big beefy dude like Crowder or somebody, I'm coming down on top of you. You want to take this charge? You want to jump in front of it? Get it all, baby. I bet you he won't jump in front of me again as easily.
Oh, real quick, I really wanted to ask you, seeing as how you didn't think Draymond was a sucker punch, if you thought Gobert was a sucker punch, or was that like, he kind of check swung that punch. I feel like
he called him a name and then turned his head. That punch was coming for sure. That was not a sucker punch.
That was not a sucker punch. That was straight up in the chest. He knew it was coming. You're talking that much trash to another man. And it wasn't even – was it a punch? Was it kind of a shoulder shrug?
I feel like he let it go. I feel like he let it go limp at the end and let it drift down right at the end, you know. But
I think it was a strong shove, you know.
It was a strong shove, which is funny because, like, literally, everyone's power is weakest when your hand is fully extended. You would figure, like, Gobert being so big, that would never happen to him. But somehow it was still, like, on the – just barely grazing him as he extended. Listen to this crazy stat. Out of everyone who shot for the Heat, no one was under 50% from three.
Yep.
Everyone shot over 50% from three. Like,
I'm not really too worried at one game. I mean, like,
six people shot over 50% from three. Yeah, you should lose that game, right?
Yeah.
Yep. It happens to them every year.
Crib, what do you think?
I think the Giannis injury is going to be bigger than we want it to be. And back injury will come and go throughout the playoffs, and that's going to be difficult to overcome. Having to hope that Middleton can carry you is a dangerous place for this team to be at. I think we all know that. How many minutes did he end up with? 33 minutes and 33 points. So that's going to be challenging for them to overcome. So Giannis won't be right. If he plays next game, he won't be right. I'm kind of the mindset, really, to not play him next game, no matter what he says. I don't think an 0-2 deficit with a 90% Giannis is too bad against the Heat. I think you can still pull that series out. I think, though,
that's what we thought in 2020, though, and the answer was we couldn't.
Right. Right. But I think this is a different
for him. It's a different
Heat team, but I don't think you can beat the other teams that you need to beat to get to where they want to be. So I think that's the issue. And I'll say this to what Ken was saying about, you know, charges. I hate seeing it. Obviously, being a Giannis fan, you hate seeing charges. But what happened today is the exact reason why guys take charges. Giannis comes in there wide open.
To the job or rant too. I mean, guys are just sliding under guys. It's such an unsafe play.
But that's the reason
you're going to give dudes three free throw shots if you slightly brush a dude to come down in his landing space. Because why? A guy got injured. Now you're getting two guys injured in this. Was it the same day? That was earlier. I'm already lost. I feel like it's a whole nother day. But
the thing is though, Giannis and Ja, they're both coming in wide open, head down into the lane. And there is punishment both ways for that. And so that's what that charge is there for. I hate it. I hate that it's part of the game. I also hate that it's so terribly officiated. Maybe it's just a very difficult play to officiate. But yeah. I don't know how you I don't know. Maybe terribly officiated bang bang. I think it's easy to figure out on replay, and we have the benefit of that. Those guys don't all the time. I think that's a
big problem, though, right? Because, like, look, no one's doing that when you go play ball. Why? Because we all know it's cheap. Correct. So the refs know right away, like, how if you want it to be good basketball, you officiate it. Like, I know what's going on here. This dude didn't try to defend. He just tried to undercut him and get some cheap call. It's not hard to officiate. Who's doing something that's whack?
Right.
Yeah, well, that's – but
think about how you could take 25% of it out of the way if they're just like, I don't care what the rule says. We're not calling it if he's actually making a pass to the perimeter. If it's like, hey, if it's sideways, don't call it. There's a million right. different ways you could do it where it'd be a rare kind of thing. I do agree with Cribb's part about, yeah, it's a collision on both sides. But, I mean, part of the thing about the pace and space era is people are running – like in the 80s and 90s, it was a rarity. Like, you think about, like, the Sean Kemp on Lister play. It's like a busted play. It looks like it's a break the other way. Then all of a sudden, it's a break coming back. And it's like a busted play. And then because guys didn't attack the – they attacked the rim with ferocity when they could, but the paint was packed. So you almost needed, like, a broken play to really, like, yak on somebody's head with, like, two steps of momentum. And now, like, every play, you know, even if people might be defending the three, even if you're coming with a head of steam. And so it's just – it's – you're going to get more collisions of people moving faster just by the nature of the fact that this court is so spread and people are just, and people can take three steps. I mean, it's just going to happen, which is why they never should allow the charge just doesn't need to be a part of basketball to me. But
right. And they don't know.
But okay.
Go ahead.
But if you take the charge out, okay. And I do not like the charge either. I agree that, you know, in pickup basketball, you don't see that called because guys understand that, you know. It's just – it's a dirty play. But professional basketball, that's the rule. So it's going to be there. So if you take the charge out, what do you – how do you reward a defender for having been in the right space? So, because so a defender has the right to be there.
It's a big difference between lowering your shoulder.
Yeah, it's lowering your shoulder.
It's a huge difference between lowering your shoulder and bowling over a guy versus you launching. You're in the air and a guy jumps underneath you a fraction of a second before you get to that spot. That should be a foul, defensive foul every freaking time. They should ban that mess.
Yeah.
So okay. So then, do you expand the restricted zone? Do you make it wider? Do you make it deeper into the paint? Like, what's the right way to do it? Because again, I don't like the charge. I obviously hate. I mean, again, as a Giannis fan, I hate it. But I also think it contributes to the flopping that we see. Like even Love on this play with Giannis was a flop. Yeah. I mean, the guy's flopping all over the place.
Everyone was a flop.
Yeah. So what's the right way to officiate it? I don't necessarily.
Well, you already can't back a guy down for more than 5 seconds. The offensive player already can't use his hands, right, like to push off. So you just call pushes. You know, you're not supposed to be able to wipe away, although our guys do that as much as anybody. I don't want to change the topic to Warriors Kings or any of the great games we got from yesterday. There's a way to officiate games where it's like, wow, no bad calls. Look at all these haymakers going on. Like, you can have awesome basketball, but it's just – I mean, I think I said this the other pod about Crowder. Like, well, we need our guys in the game who are going to be doing that kind of stuff, too. We didn't. And I guess this transitions slightly into me being kind of a Grayson neutral. Grayson appears to have won the battle of the white boys at this point. But, like, so where are we at? Pat is gone and Grayson's getting the minutes? Or is there some intel on this that I wasn't aware of?
So
Unless Pat is still hurt and they're just not saying he's hurt. Unless he's not 100%, I don't understand that, because Grayson gave you next to nothing on defense. Next to nothing, besides breaking Hero's hand, which was a mistake. You know, I mean, it was a fluke play. It wasn't intentional. But what I'm saying is that he did nothing, and he would barely shoot the ball. He took a few drives, and that was good, but I don't know. I just like Pat's rebounding ability, his eye for the ball. I would have preferred to see a little bit more Pat. And I agree. I love that Carter got benched after shooting that stupid. They had a 2-on-1.
You can't keep saying this. We can have this Carter conversation on the three again.
Middleton did it the next possession, dude. Like, it's just a shot. It's just a three-pointer. Don't think of it as a – what was he going to do, pass it to Chris? He's going to throw the alley-oop to Chris. Chris was going to windmill it. Like, what was he going to do on the break?
And Carter's actually been – I mean, what's his shooting percentage at those fast –
the highest three-point shooter on the team, and that's the only shot he takes. So it's a shot.
That's what I'm saying. It's like – so, dude, you haven't taken a shot all game. This the one you got to take? Take a wide.
That speaks to another problem, which is he didn't get enough minutes. He shot two shots, right? One in the one in each half.
He had 22 minutes. That was plenty of time, and he did. But how many basically, did he shoot? He shot four times.
He was one for four.
One time.
For four. Four for two from three.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was just disappointed. You know, it's emotions.
The one turnover Drew Holiday game. As I'm looking at this.
Yep. No, Drew Holiday had three turnovers.
No, you're looking at Brook Lopez.
Oh, yep, sure am.
Yeah.
Oh no, we lost the one turnover. So he had six.
One turnover. So
Drew Holiday, and I'm not going to say he was good. 16 assists, one turnover.
I mean, that's good. I think we would have won the game if we had Giannis, or if Brook could have did more, or if Inglis could have fed Brook more. I don't know why. But that's the other point I really want to hit on. Is Bud.
Bud's a problem.
Have Brook.
No one
can stop him without fouling. Love cannot stop him with fouling. Lopez can go up without giving Love an opportunity to flop. Why do you not pick and roll and feed him when you were doing it so many games where Giannis and Middleton were missing? And then they do nothing.
Playing in the paint is like playing defense. It's a mindset. Brook does not plant down there. You can say that's offense. It's the sets they're calling or lack of sets, whatever. But if Brook wants it down there, he needs to get his butt down there and demand it.
No, yep. That's the coaching philosophy. They tell him to stick around the perimeter on offense and wait for a kick out. That's what they tell him to do. But when Inglis is in the game, they do their pick and roll. It's a coaching decision. That's not Lopez.
A pick and roll is not playing in the paint.
I know. I'm not saying go down there and camp out in the paint and demand the ball like your Shaq. He is not that guy.
He has touch well enough to get down there and demand the ball. When he's got a guy like
– really grabs the ball when they try to turn it into –
correct. Correct.
So do some pick and roll. They did it for what, 15? You got
pick
16,
and roll of the death?
They did it like 20. You could do more than none. They did it none.
He had a nice layup, I think, in the third or fourth quarter.
I'm agreeing with you, man.
I just don't think that's Brooks' game. The pick and roll, they ran a couple of it. He had a couple layups. He only ended up with 10 points,
Rob,
in 36 minutes.
Ever since Inglis got back in the game, him and Brook worked on that pick and roll all regular season, 84 games. I bet you they worked that mess for about 10 points, 8 to 10 points a game for at least 15 games. They didn't get as many of that, but they've been working on that ever since he came back. Not 84 games because he missed a few games, but you know what I'm saying. They had that mess honed down, and then they just completely abandoned it for this game. It was like they had played no games without Giannis, and they were confused. They didn't know what to do.
It's like they're all dumb basketball players.
I do think that there is some truth to what you're saying, though. They have not played. They have not played games without Giannis and Middleton having to be the go-to guy, like what, like 5-10 games this season where it's been no Giannis Middleton games? Like, how many of those have we had this season?
Zero.
A lot.
There's been this is the first one.
Oh,
Giannis Middleton. Middleton's got to be the guy.
I got you. There were a few.
Middleton played well in it. Okay.
There were very few.
Middleton's playing 30 plus minutes, right? Like, there might have been some games where Giannis didn't play and Middleton was still on minutes restrictions. So, Yeah, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of confusion. The rotation wasn't great. I agree that Pat should have been in there a little bit more to see what was going on. But also, like, this is a terribly officiated game. Again, like, we're talking about the game, the Grizzly game last night, or some of those are not the Grizzly game, the Sacramento game. Like, this is a terribly officiated game again. It's not a surprise. And we're talking about the crowd, you know, a 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon game in Milwaukee. I mean, it wasn't like, what are we talking about here? I mean, what are we expecting from a 4 o'clock start, you know, in Milwaukee? Like, I just think that there's some of this, you know, a little bit of that conspiracy theory. Bucks fans know Tony Brothers is not our fan. You know what I mean? We get him in game one. So
I want to shout out a real American hero. And that's DeMar DeRozan's daughter. Like, the fire in DeMar DeRozan's daughter's hater eyes. Like, it took me back to the days of pounding that steel pot in the BC. Yeah. Like, just the crazy. I couldn't. Like, that's a real fan, and that's what we needed. We didn't need a bunch of like wannabe hedge fund people in the lower bowl, like ignoring Dr. Dave and doing whatever else. Like, it's like. They did the Bobby thing in the first half. That was sort of cool. I'm sorry. Like, the next video should just be a split screen of Sacramento and then the Pfizer. And then, like, Sacramento after a big play and then Pfizer. You know, some of y'all stand up. Some of y'all stand up at Pfizer on a 7-0 Bucks run. But it's not up to snuff, and I guess it's just never going to be.
So, all things considered, looking at all the numbers and watching the play, like, we played pretty stinking good and still lost. They just made more threes. If you look up and down the line, Grayson was 5 for 7. Drew shot bad, 33%, but he does that all the time. We still normally win. He made up for it with assists. Ingles, 3 for 7 from three. That's pretty good, 43%. Bobby, 9 for 15. I don't know why they pulled Bobby and
stopped. Why did they go away from it?
Bud keeps taking out people.
Bud gets annoyed with Middleton. Bud gets annoyed with Bobby's
and it's Ingles.
Bud gets very, very annoyed with Bobby's personality.
Well, that's dumb.
You see that happen a lot. Bobby will do something, we'll all say is stupid, or, you know, very emotional, and Bud will pull him and sit him. He's still treating him like year one when they're like, you got to earn your minutes. And instead of looking like, oh, okay, it's pretty much just him and Chris cooking. I'm going to have to deal with this and let him foul out if he's going to foul out.
Yes, they can't.
It wasn't costing you a game. Yep.
Can Bobby play fast? I love Bobby. Can he play fast? Like, they needed to play
fast without Giannis in.
You like, had to play playing? Fast. You had to play fast. You're down by 15, 13, 12. Like, you got to play fast.
You act like Lopez plays medium
every time down, right? He scored in the paint every time down. We didn't need to score fast. Like, we don't have Giannis. Chris is going to dribble the ball for 20 seconds.
Lopez can't even play medium.
Don't get me wrong, but like, that is what we're going to be without Giannis. Like, who? Ingles going to run? Ingles can pass, but like, he ain't dunking. He ain't finishing at the rim. We don't need to run fast. They could not stop him. They had Kevin Love in there, and he couldn't guard anybody.
Let me tell you the difference between Budenholzer and Spoelstra. If you saw some of the playoff games, whatever it was, Strus was hitting three-pointers all over the plant. Like, just Strus was, like, winning these games for him. And Strus got 5 shots tonight because other people got off. And that's kind of the difference. Like, this could have been – it's like, oh, great. And, look, I'm maybe saving the Chris stuff till the end. But, okay, so – but just moving forward, now where do we go with – Chris got 20 shots. Chris got 36 minutes. Have we moved Chris from the fifth buck or from the fourth buck, if you want to say, but not really – all the way to if Giannis can't play the first buck, because that, my friends, is a recipe for Bucks losing 5.
Like, yes, it is.
And go ahead, Kendrick. Go ahead, Kendrick. We told you don't say it in the back channel. Save it for now. Go ahead. Tell me why I'm wrong, Kendrick.
I just disagree. I think that you guys are just going off on this tangent because he was hurt since last season and really getting his legs back running. Chris has always made dumb turnovers, but Chris is one of the only – few guys out of what? All right. Realistically, think super hard. How many guys can shoot a mid-range jumper on this team?
Drew.
Drew. Bobby. Okay. Consistently. Like.
Whoa, sure. Drew. You got to take Chris out if you're saying consistently.
All right. Fine. I'll give you Drew. Great.
Bobby.
Well.
Drew. Bobby.
Okay.
Jerome Bettis, that's it.
Completely different positions, though, but yeah, sure.
Brooks Brooks shot too.
Look, everybody.
Oh, so you got to take them out? Would you say you can't win if Chris has already proven himself? I'm not going to get into this argument.
He certainly has, but that's what fine. Has he proven? Because here's that's the fine. Thing: he did a bunch of stuff.
He still led the entire team in scoring.
We were down 10, and then he'd do a bunch of stuff, and then we still be down 10. I mean, that's kind of the thing. Like,
kind of the thing. Giannis could do that too, and you guys will give him all kinds of accolades, and he'll come in and have 7 turnovers.
Agreed. That's kind of the whole thing.
They're all valuable. You're not winning anything without them.
Let's give Chris his flowers, because this is as good as he can play off of 2 weeks rest or whatever it is. He was 12 for 20. He got 10 free throws. Not a single one of them was a foul, but that's great. He had 5 turnovers. There's a couple box outs he screwed up, and Jimmy Butler beat him. And he couldn't guard anybody. But this is as good as he could play.
Jimmy Butler beat everybody.
And he shot. And he shot 2 from 7. From
3. Jimmy Butler beat everybody.
Yes.
Everybody.
And that's a big problem, because Jay Crowder isn't – and this is what I mean. There's going to – and I said this before. There's going to be a game.
Destroy Jay Crowder.
There's going to be a game where Jay Crowder is like 4-6 from 3 and is taking 2 charges, and then we're going to sit him in the fourth quarter for Middleton for like reasons. And so if Middleton has jumped to number 1 in the pecking order, it's a really big problem for us, because – when Ingles, like, if Ingles and Jay are hitting shots and Chris isn't, why would they sit? Why did Bobby not get any shots in the fourth quarter? Because why does Drew defer to Chris? Because the hierarchy is Giannis, then Chris, then everybody else. And I don't really have a whole lot of criticism for him this game other than the 5 turnovers, but
I want to hear the accolades.
But it's a
lot. All you said was,
we'll give
Chris his flowers, and then you've trashed him ever since.
Because that's what this is. If it was Bradley Beal, you know it. You'd be like, oh, look at him playing. Look at him getting off in a loss. This is Chris getting off in a loss. Sure. He's real comfortable down 12, dude. He's
Chris
real comfortable.
Chris was the only thing keeping you in this game.
Both, what we're saying is compatible.
Drew was shooting, but he was just off.
But we never got close.
And you know half. You know some of those assists went to from Drew to Chris Middleton.
Yeah.
No, it's not saying that.
So I'm saying like you guys are acting like he is a net negative.
No, because we'll win another couple games, and then in game 4 somebody will be like, hey, but with that 33, you know, Chris is still averaging 22 points.
Because he'll get a lot of credit.
It's wins and losses now. It's binary. It's wins and losses. It's the L. Like, it just is.
So let me ask this question, Ken. Against this Miami team without Tyler Hero, who, and if Giannis is healthy enough to go, 80% Giannis, and you got Middleton, Drew, and Brooke, who should be number 2?
I don't get into that. It's a team sport. I really
don't. I understand that, but I'm saying, who do you want taking more shots? Take Giannis out of the equation, because he's going to get his. Who do you want taking the shots, the rest, the majority of the rest? Who do you want taking the rest against this Miami team now without Tyler Hero?
Let's look at the shooting percentages today. Do you want to use today as an example, or you want to use some other
game? I don't care. Okay. You can use today. I mean, it's a whole new season, right? Playoff basketball, a whole new series.
So Bobby will be on the floor if Giannis isn't, right?
I would guess he would probably start. That would be my guess.
So then Bobby's going to get his shots and whatever. This is all on Bud. I don't know why Bud didn't play Bobby.
Yeah, right. I understand that. But if Giannis is playing 80% of the time.
First of all, they won all year by spreading the ball around, by finding guys. If it wasn't Giannis, it was finding the open man and those guys making those shots. It wasn't number 1 or number 2. Drew either shows up or he doesn't. And largely – in big spots.
We know that Drew has the ability. What did he put on? What did he put on? What was his big
playoffs.
Game? 45? 45? Yeah, 40? 45? What
playoffs.
Was that?
Playoffs.
Who's guarding him?
45. Who's going to be there 45?
Regular season.
Oh, the playoffs. This is a different season. This is a playoff. It's a
different season. But who's he got guarding him?
He had no one guarding him. He had Strus guarding him today. And
so
this
fool
did basically nothing.
He deferred to Middleton.
That's what I'm saying.
No, he took the ball.
That's where we went wrong. He shot 9 threes and only made 2 of them. He makes 4 more and we win. Like, But do we expect him to shoot 9 in the first place? No, he shouldn't be shooting 9 threes.
Holiday 18 shot attempts. To get him up. Holiday 18 shot attempts. Chris Middleton 20.
So
Chris made twice as many shots as Holiday made. So I want the ball to go. If we're gonna be so simple minded and think that it's, I'm not saying you're simple minded, but I'm just saying this is a dumb question.
No, you're right.
Because it's a team sport. If we're going to be so simple-minded to say, who do we want the ball to go to next? I want it to go to a guy who's going to give me 12 for 20.
The correct answer is
Paris. I don't want it to go to the guy shooting 6 for 18. I mean, and these were not jumpers. These were point-blank at the rim, bust, brick, misses. So, no, I don't want that because he's not reliable.
He shot more threes.
He's not reliable, and he missed more.
Yeah, he did. He shouldn't have been shooting as many threes. Like, when Drew is cooking,
he's making poor decisions, and he's missing. He's missing, and he's making poor decisions to shoot
more.
But
when he's cooking, he's not shooting that many threes.
Keep on assisting.
I just need to understand why we did all this rest all year and sat all these people all year so that Brook Lopez can't guard Bam. He has to, like, save his energy by, like, guarding the naked space in front of Bam for no good reason. Like, yes. we did this all year. How about every once in a while you let them get behind you for an alley, but you face guard? Like, I just don't know. Like, this is the 27th best offense in the league, and we're like, hey, let's play zone. You know, we're saving ourselves from some other round. It's Budenholzer. It's Budenholzer. But he's a genius at not getting fired because no one's ever going to really blame him because he just gives everybody else, when it goes well, he gives everyone else the credit, right? And so it's very Machiavellian, like the Palpatine nature of him just being like, oh yeah, you know, it's everybody else. And he's just simply not going to make a good move. He's simply not going to make a good move. And now this is at least going to be
non-confidence. And
we got to see what happens. we got to see what happens next game.
I'll be right back.
The sinister from Malastare will ratify your vote of non-confidence, whatever that joke is.
We got to see what happens next game. They'll be fine. They'll make a few adjustments. They'll be fine.
I'm not going to air out any of the Bryn Forbes jokes we were making in the back channel, but if some kind of way a bag of cash made its way somewhere and we could get Bryn Forbes, like, I think my morals might be out the door on this one at this point. I don't know. What else, man? This one had to be an hour.
No.
But I feel better talking it out. I'm certainly would ask people to listen to this one or listen to whatever else, but I understand if you don't want to listen to this. Like, I feel better talking it out, but I don't even want to listen to this to edit it, man.
Right. I hardly listen to podcasts after losses. I just need to let that one go and wait, move on to the next one, you know? But this, I mean, it was good to see Chris play well, play aggressive.
One of the prominent podcasts was saying he should play 48 minutes. Like,
I think that's
dumb. Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. I don't think that's smart. I don't think that's smart, but I think him playing 30 minutes is fine. In the playoffs, I think that's fine.
I think that's the number.
I mean, of your starters, Chris is your only – he's your only plus of your starters.
Plus minus, yeah.
Yeah. A plus one.
Yep.
Of your starters. Yeah. Everybody – the only other person that was a plus on the team today was Javon Carter at a plus three.
That and $500 to get you a Brewers jersey, man.
Yeah, it means nothing.
Great.
Plus, minus. Woohoo. I hate that stat.
I think I have the window seat.
You better double check that, my friend. Don't think we don't know who you are.
Yeah, I'm Aaron Rodgers.
No, that's not it. You're that State Farm discount double check guy.
Discount double check.
Thanks to the hundreds you saved us, we could upgrade the grill class.
Grill class?
Your tongs are in your seat back.
Save with a discount double check today.
Discount double check.
Get to a better state, State Farm.
While Jay went and took a call, how we feeling about The Mandalorian?
Well, we know Crib loves it. Crib loves mediocrity.
I'm not the Middleton fan here. What are you talking about?
Yep, the Mandalorian is the Middleton of Star Wars shows.
Middleton, season 3.
That's what it is. Mandalorian started off really good. And it's just it's just jumped the shark, man. It's just so corny now. It's just so corny. With that, was that Lizzo and Jack Black? Who was the clowns in that episode?
Jack
was it Jack Black? Defend it, Crib. Yeah. Defend that.
And Matt. Doc Brown. It's the worst season that they've had on Mandalorian of Mandalorian. But I will say this: like, I think it's funny that people expect them. What? How many chapters are they doing? 8 or 9? Is it 8 or 9 per season?
I guess so.
I don't know.
Sure. Sounds good. Go ahead.
You can't write. So 8 or 9 at 40 minutes a piece. You're 6 movies in or something like that at this point. Like, the first 6 Star Wars movies were all great, right?
Yeah.
No, they're all, no, they weren't.
No. No,
yes. They weren't.
Oh, that a joke? I was thinking about it. I'm like, where are you going? I'm like, I like
episodes 1 and 2. You probably could have combined into one movie. You probably didn't need to. There's a lot of filler in there. So, I'm just saying, like, I don't see how we can. They're running out of ideas. This last episode was.
You know why they're running out fine. Of ideas?
Yeah, right. Yeah, this last episode was fine, but predictable. The next episode, we all know what's going to happen, right? Like, what do we anticipate will happen in the season finale?
I don't know what's happening now. I'm not up on it, so good.
I want Grogu to get taken out because I don't want to see him anymore.
Yes.
Put him in another show.
I have turned on Baby Yoda like Aaron Rodgers. Like, I just know. I just like
he, it's ridiculous. Yes. It's a crutch.
Yes.
It's a crutch.
No. Yes.
It's a crutch.
No. It is. It's terrible. I totally agree with that, but I don't know where else you think they're going to go with this show. I mean, this is going to be the same thing.
Well, I know where it's going to go, in the trash. They're going to bail on it.
They're going to make a movie. They're leading up to this movie that Filoni's going to direct. It's going to culminate in the Avengers-style movie with Thrawn as the big bad. They're basically writing Heir to the Empire, which is now non-canon books that were really great prior. They're just writing that in now in this blank space, and they're trying to make it all tie together. And they'll have their difficulty doing it, but I'm excited that Thrawn's coming. You'll probably get that tease in the next episode. We'll get to see Din Djarin's face.
That's all this again. Is. It's like you defend this because you're excited about what could happen or what might happen. Correct, but what you're seeing is a bunch of crap, hoping that it gets better. You don't want it to end. You don't want them to cancel it because you want to see what.
I don't care if they can. I don't care if they cancel it. I don't care if they cancel it. I think it's funny, Ken, because like I'm hoping for success. I'm hoping for big success. Like, I'll deal with the mediocrity because I know there can be some great success at the end. It's kind of like you as a Bucks fan. You can deal with some mediocrity because you hope there might be some greatness at the end. It's just reversed. You know what I mean? That's just all it is.
You see my heart rate. I can't deal with this mediocrity.
I think we got the name of this pod. It's going to be the Middalorian. I mean, there it is.
I always forget the name. I'll do all this so that the titles are always terrible because by the end I'm like, let's think of a title. I think you're mixing Idiocracy with Mediocrity there. But do you guys really? Like, how much do you care at this point? Like, I'm not. I've reached indifference. It's not. There's just kind of any little bit of content that comes out. I've lost.
Man, as long as Kathleen Kennedy is still running the show over there, I just kind of it's like whatever. It's a complete joke at this point. She still has a job. She's my coach, Bud. Like, I don't know how she still has a job.
You said it about 8 times. Why Kathleen Kennedy is still employed?
Well, just to have Lizzo and like I'm in the room and like to have Lizzo and Jack Black be there, and Jack Black is basically the guy from the end of Wizard of Oz. He's like, no, that's a horse of a different color, and I'm like, what is happening right now? Like, I look up from my phone to be like, is this? Hey, little guy, blah blah blah. I made the boy.
Come over here. Pop and throw a puppet in the air, and then it can barely walk. It's just. Man, give me a break. Give me a break. Let this puppet go. I mean, and then they gave him a robot, a walking car. You know, I'm just like,
they're going to be carrying him around the whole time. He'd be an easy target, of course. Listen, like.
Stopping fights. Oh, God.
You think Disney. You think Disney knew that Jack Black was doing a song for the Mario Brothers movie, so they had to like time it so that Jack Black's episode came out the same time as Mario Brothers movie?
I try to know as little about Jack Black as possible.
No, I don't know. Oh my goodness.
I don't want to know anything about Jack Black.
Is that connected somehow? Is that my conspiracy theory? The Jack Black conspiracy theory?
That checks out. That sounds like Disney. Let's not worry about the plot, but figure out how we can tie into something else we're selling. Like, literally, that's all they do. I like that one, Chris. I like that one a lot.
Jay, do you remember the conspiracy theory around that Santa Claus from Attack of the Clones where he's walking down the steps and we're like, hey, I think he was digitally inserted later. He must be the bad guy. Lucas put him in that scene where they're like, we won't stand for this invasion. And it was like, and then later on, like in the spoiler threads, it was like, hey, I bet you that guy's actually a traitor because they put him in that scene.
Yeah, I know exactly what. Kiamonde?
No, like the white guy. He just looks like Santa Claus. He's in the, it's like Naboo. It's like.
Okay, that's episode one though, isn't it?
Episode one, right? He's like part of their council. Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep. We ran out of Buck's anger, or at least I feel better talking about it. And by the way, this game involved not only the Bucks losing, but this guy from this other place texting me like, hey, how's it going, buddy? Hey, the Bucks are going to lose. Like this person who's like a fifth tier friend for me, was like, wants something from me being like, hey, how's it going? You know who you look like? Hey, hey, you look like one of these Heat. I'm like, you look like one of these Heat guys. I was thinking number 31 kind of looks like you. And I'm like, dude, come on. He's like, doesn't look good for the Bucks. And I'm like, why are you texting? At the same time, my mother-in-law is texting me. Like, hey, love y'all, miss y'all. Like, you know, and that's all cool. But like, my phone is just blowing up during this game. Like, doesn't look good for your team. Get them next time. And I'm like, wow. just dying inside. I'm just like, great.
Hey, you're a better man than me. Like, I've blocked family members in the middle of games, for sure.
In the meantime, the NBA is cheating for the Lakers to make sure that the Lakers,
we didn't talk about that.
Lakers Celtics.
That was pretty sick.
I came home to see, like, four straight loose ball fouls. Just like, keep it down here. Keep it. And I was like, is this a foul at all? And they're like, keep it down here until the Lakers
make another shot. Give him another chance.
Yeah, give him another shot. And it was, yeah.
NBA saw the dollar signs of what was last year? San Francisco, Golden State, Boston finals. And then they compared that to the season prior when they had the Phoenix, Milwaukee finals. And like, oof, can't have that again.
Yeah. Pretty much. I mean, because it really felt like they – how does Jimmy Butler, who initiates so much contact, get foul calls like he's – Trae Young or a little girl playing basketball amongst men. Like, why do they treat that guy so delicately?
Why do they treat Chris like that? It's the same thing. Like, Giannis doesn't.
No, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. At least his are jump shots.
Every time we were saying this back then.
They gave it one. They gave Jimmy Butler one offensive foul, but he did that almost every time. Jumps into a guy sideways or whatever as he's shooting.
He's an incredible player. I agree with you.
But he's an incredible
grifter. Now we have to deal with it.
He's an incredibly decent. He's a decent grifter. He's not as egregious as he doesn't fake a lot of contact, but he does initiate a lot. He isn't hooking your arm like Harden. He's least hateable than that dude and Trae Young, but he's still
by far. He's not even in the same category. Jimmy Buckets is a legit. He's a legit NBA player. Like that guy can get after it. You would take Jimmy Butler over Crowder, you take him over
for sure.
PJ Tucker, like he has that kind of dog in him that
you just compared him to like lower tier people. I'm just saying he's not that bad of a grifter of fouls, but he's a good player.
Not that guy.
He's a good player. Yeah. He can shoot
and he doesn't beg for fouls.
He's no Anthony Davis. I've never seen anybody get more calls than Anthony Davis. I don't know why he ever gets a foul.
Another big old giant joker who gets treated like he's an 8-year-old girl.
If his head straight up is a 90-degree angle, he starts every play with his head at like a 70, 65-degree angle and just goes sideways. And they're just like, oh, foul. And it's like, mm-hmm. I don't understand it.
And Embiid.
Hey, I mean, he came back in the second half. I mean, that was fantastic for the Lakers.
I knew he wasn't hurt. He's
miracle.
I'm going to stop.
I mean, do the Lakers still have that amazing trainer that Kobe had forever? I mean, he probably has some, miracle potions for Anthony Davis, Class
Anthony
man.
Davis needs to – he needs some man juice. Stop acting like a little girl. I can't move my arm. Man, shut up. Go to the bench and sit down. Call timeout. He is just such a wuss.
Man. They all are.
Man. Okay. Right. I mean, they didn't even call timeout for Tyler Hero today, and that dude had a legitimate broken hand. Like, they're like, I just keep playing. He shot up that air ball. Like, these guys don't –
Coach, I love that one game I was watching.
Nobody was looking. We gotta get that timeout for Kevin Love because he got blood, but dude's got a broken hand, wincing in pain. I don't understand that.
I love Darvin Ham. Did you guys see that game where AD goes down, the ankle or whatever, act like he was dying? Darvin Ham didn't even call a timeout, man. They ran two plays back down there by him while he was still laying on the floor. Then he gets up. They call a timeout, break and play, and he comes back out and plays like nothing ever happened. A couple of fake limps, and then he stopped.
Mm-hmm. Darvin Ham ain't listening to that stuff. Darvin Ham was a beast when he played. He didn't listen to
all that. AD is like that child who, if she falls down and hurts herself, nobody's looking, she gets back up and starts playing. But if somebody's looking, she starts crying. That's
what was the play where Butler, like, scored and then, like, reached out of bounds to try to, like – He, like, reached out of bound to try to stop our inbound and then lied about it, and it was, like, clear as day. Like,
yep. Reached out, grabbed Crowder's hand as Crowder was passing the ball in.
Man, we were one shot away. We were one shot away from Portis or any of these guys who had shots. We kept
– We were
a shot away from getting it to three the whole game.
We were like, a couple offensive fouls.
Yeah.
Those charges. And then Middleton shot. And we didn't get it close to three.
Middleton threw it into the stands.
Then Middleton threw it in the stands.
If you track those back, though, most of those there's
and Drew shot some more threes than this
because Bud pulls somebody.
Yeah,
like Portis goes off. Sit him now. It's within.
Yeah, you're a little too hot. We're gonna have to cool you off a little bit. I don't know what Bud was doing.
I mean, what's the worst? What's the worst Bobby can do? What's the worst that Bobby could do? Get a tech.
Yeah, you. I mean, I don't think he's gonna punch.
Get kicked out of the game. Get kicked out of the game. Bobby gets kicked out of the game. What happens? Like, what's you took him out of the game. What's the difference? Well, I don't
exactly.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
Bud coached that game very poorly. Spoelstra coached him as he has many times.
We'll see what happens. Coach. Yep. Second best coach in the league, probably.
We'll see what happens.
If Drew is that guy, and I've hand waved, like I've seen 10 years of Middleton and it took him till year six or whatever in the playoffs to do anything at all. So I've hand waved a lot of the, Drew's true shooting is so bad. But we need a 27-13 game from him stat. Like we know
We need it from both, right? If Giannis isn't playing?
No, we just need it from Drew. Because Drew gets Brooke and everybody else going in a way that.
Okay.
Again, I'm telling you, the path to our success is us saying, wow, that was the dopest 14-point game by Chris I've ever seen. Like, the path to our success is Chris going 5-for-7 and 3-of-5-for-3. And, like,
without Giannis?
Him taking
all the Giannis? Uses.
Yes. Without Giannis, what? If we have to play Chris, look, this Chris went and saw the LeBron doctor, right?
You're so this is insane. The best.
Dude,
you're
I'm
insane.
Just, I'm just telling
you. Want to know how I know? Well, just say that Drew scored what Middleton did today. And Middleton did what Drew did. Just say that's what happened. The exact same thing. You're going to get the exact same thing.
But what I'm getting from one of those two players is defense. And what I am getting from
you got Chris, it tonight. You got the exact same thing. You got Drew. Drew always gives you his money on defense.
I'm just saying.
Switch the numbers around. You're crazy.
Okay, so move the numbers around and move the numbers from Chris and move them to Jay. And maybe we get some of those charges are in a better position and maybe we can make some other plays. I'm not blaming Chris for this loss. I'm blaming Kevin Love or whoever took that charge.
No, you're not directly blaming him, but you're saying that we need less of Chris. We need Chris to disappear, and we need Drew to step up.
I'm telling you, you just watch Kirk Cousins throw five touchdowns. You just watch Kirk Cousins throw five touchdowns, three picks, and two fumbles in a playoff loss, and you're like, yeah, but look at those numbers. We got to move those numbers. And I'm telling you, this is a loss that was Kirk Cousins. This is a loss, no matter how you do it. So the role for this is somehow if we have like a running back, we can do other kind of stuff with it. We can't win with Kirk Cousins taking the lead. And if we go back to 2020 in the bubble, we know what that looked like. If we go back to 2019, we know what all those years look like. And
skipping over the championship year on purpose.
skipping over the championship season on purpose. You just jumped the bubble and the year before that. When Giannis went down, when he did the ostrich knee and he was gone, it was Drew and Middleton that had to step up.
And Lopez.
One game, a Drew, terrible Hawks team.
Sure. I agree.
Terrible coach Hawks team.
But that's what Miami is awful too. They have to shoot lights out in order to win.
That's why it's so embarrassing that they beat us. That's why it's so embarrassing. We're a juggernaut, and we lost to
Miami.
That's just a game.
That happens. That happens.
Ken, what's the final of this series?
5-1.
What's the 5-1?
I mean, 4-1. 4-1. 5 games.
So you still got Bucks. You still got Bucks in 5.
6.
Jay?
Bucks.
6.
When they come back to Milwaukee, what's it going to be?
Can I explain myself?
After game 2.
7, and here's why. We actually have a very big problem right now. And Ben is touching on it slightly, but we can't guard any of the – we got a serious problem with not having fast bigs now. Giannis was the one fast big. Portis, they're only going to play for half a minute. We've got now Chris, Brooke, Ingles – and Jay Crowder, all who can't move fast enough around the screen. They're going to get blown by Butler on all these screens. So you're limited on who can actually be in there. You can't run double sets of Jay and Middleton or Jay and Ingles and not get
burned. Where was Planet Pat?
Huh?
Planet Pat can get through those screens.
No crib. Pat's the worst. That's why Grayson's starting, because Grayson has two moves. He can shoot a three and drive. His defense is slightly better than Pat's. Pat gives you a little bit more energy on loose – rebounds, but outside of that, it's been this way all season.
Defense is better than whose? That's a wash.
We got a problem.
That's a push. Because Pat can recover. Well, Pat could recover a little bit better.
Grayson is slightly better on defense. Pat is better on getting long rebounds when nobody moves towards the ball. So
No.
I watched like 80 games this season. I've been watching them every game.
They're both sevens. Bam ain't
really that good. That's the one thing we have. So we can have either JN on Bam or Lopez. Like, anyone can cover Bam. Bam doesn't do anything special. It's these screens and the three-pointers. So we should be running small with, like, Carter, Matthews, and Drew, because we just need guys who can fly around the screen. They're not killing us on the inside.
You said the magic word for Chris.
You lost me when you said Matthews. I'm out. I don't know. I can't. I mean, if Matthews.
Go back and what Butler did when Matthew was on him. And go back and look what he did with everyone else on him. Mm-hmm. How many other people picked his pocket? It was only Matthews, which means we have a dumb coach, because Matthews should be getting 30 minutes with no job besides stopping Butler.
30 minutes.
30 yeah, minutes for Matthew.
Wes Matthews?
Yes, 30 minutes for Wes Matthews. Just put
game
him in
the game. Wes Matthews is out of the game tonight with a calf strain.
But see, it's a fundamental. I agree. Look, I agree with everybody. We're just chopping it up, man. It's good to talk.
Oh, for sure.
It's a fundamental, and this is our bias. I think you win with defense and then pull ahead with offense. And the Bucks always try to, like, get ahead with offense and then put in the defensive guys. It's like, no, how about you go up 27-24 after the first quarter and be up 6 after the half? And then all of a sudden somebody gets hot and you win by 12 and you go away. We always do this where it's like, hey, like, I'm sorry, man. This Grayson thing, I was just wrong about it. Because, I he's Brent Forbes to us. He's just the ninth man chucker at this point. Yep. And I mean, this leads to the real question. At this point, if Giannis can't go, do we get Hans Landa to, like, do we check him into the game? Do we check him into the game and see what's up?
We're not Chris Wood speed is as slow as, yeah. I like the idea of Bam. I love the idea of Bam on Adebayo. Like, I think that's a, or not.
Bam Adebayo.
Crowder on Bam. I think that's I think that's a great switch. I think that's a good idea. Wes can probably give you, 15, 20 minutes on Matthews, and everybody else will have to lean on him the rest of the game. But like, I think when they come back to Milwaukee after game 2, the series will be tied 2-2.
The next one's in Miami?
No.
The next one's they're leaving Milwaukee 0-2. Cuz Giannis isn't going to play.
It's not a heart though, right? Like, literally, once again, Middleton played great tonight for Middleton. Middleton played great. I don't expect him to play this well next game. I think that's not fair to him, to be honest. He shot 60%.
It's not
Miami also isn't going to shoot 60%.
But they're going to get the shots that they can shoot 60%, and that's the whole problem. We're going to go under the screen and be like it's a Tuesday night in Detroit, and that's the whole problem.
You get the shots. I don't care.
That's the whole problem with this whole season. We said this whole season. Like, nobody gets love for saying this stuff, but it bothered me all season. It bothered us, like, the whole time. And think about how bad it was in December when we were really just tricking off games. And now here we are, and we got to punch back. We got to punch back, or we are a fart in the wind again, my friend. That's like really where it's at. That's really where it's at.
I think these guys, I think that these guys have the metal to punch back without Giannis against this Miami team.
Miami is
this squad that you saw, this squad you saw play today can beat Miami in 6 or 7 games.
Yep.
I think that's possible. The problem is we don't have the same aspirations as the Knicks.
Right. I agree.
We don't want to just win a playoff series and be like, hey, look what we did this year. We're, you know, this, like you said, this team is a juggernaut. This team is designed to win a championship. This Giannis injury over a terrible, terrible flop is going to cost this team a championship this year. I said it earlier this year that it'll be Middleton's fault. I'm amending my reason for losing. It will be Wes Matthews and Ken Love.
The Heat shot 18% better than their total field goal percentage, and they shot 36 percentage points better than the Bucks.
So just to sum up, the Heat are not a good shooting team. They're not a quick team. They are not an athletic team. I don't know exactly what they do well except beat us when we show up like it's a Tuesday night in Indiana. Like, what are the Heat good at except that Jimmy Butler goes from being like the 22nd best player in the regular season to being like the 8th?
They scored 130 points. They scored 130 points. How many times this season has Miami scored 130 points?
Probably how many times do you think it's going to happen again? They will have to do this every freaking time in order to.
So this is the Chris Paul game in the finals a couple of years ago, and Chris Paul went off for 29 or whatever it was. That's the one time it's going to happen.
Well, I certainly hope so, because
they'll have another good game, but Bucks won't play as badly.
Okay.
We played good. We played good. They shot 60% from three, and we shot 24% from three. That's the
right.
Game.
So that's not too good.
We shoot 40%. They shoot 40%. We win this game. Yeah.
That's not too good. That's kind of bad. Like Wes Matthews.
That's kind of bad. The game was kind of bad. I don't think we played a good game.
But the question again is
Wes Matthews jersey, dude. This is going to show up.
They should not have taken out Bobby.
Yeah. And I do need something to start fires with, Jay. So if you want to send that over, that's fine.
Did a little bit more action with Lopez in the paint, especially when Love was defending him. Love has nothing for Lopez. Should have did something. He knows how to do it. He started his career doing it. He did it in college. He knows how to do it.
He doesn't.
But they treated him. No, that's not true, because he's done it many times this year. So I don't believe that.
When he left LA, he changed his listen, when Brooke left LA, what was he? Washed. What did he sign? A 1-year deal here? 2-year deal? What was it? When he came to Milwaukee.
He was not washed. Yeah. LA, like many before him, was misusing people. They barely gave him minutes.
Exactly.
And he had a foot injury that he was recovering from.
Exactly. So that changed his game. You're right. You're 100% right. They misused him in LA, and everybody thought he was washed because they misused him. I will give you that.
Like Luol Deng. Like Luol Deng, we were like, oh, the Lakers got Deng, and then we didn't know at that point that Deng was already 54 years old. But it was like they had Deng and Brook Lopez, and we were like, wow, here it comes. And it was yes.
They misused him. He came to Milwaukee, and he credits Bud for reinventing his game and getting him paid, obviously, and helping him win a championship. But the game that Bud reinvented for him was shooting threes. He didn't do that mess in L.A. Now you're asking him to go play a completely different style of game that Bud and him have never agreed upon, and he's never shown here in Milwaukee to be successful. Matter of fact, in his mind, he might think is what made him unsuccessful in L.A. So, like, I think I think I agree with you that he should be down in the paint, but that's just not what you're getting from Brook. You're never going to get that.
So, okay. All right, we've had an hour. We've had an hour. Good. Bucks in six, I'll say. Jay?
Bucks in seven.
Kendrick?
Bucks in five.
Crib?
6.5.
I knew he was going to do something.
Bucks in six. They'll win one in Miami. What would that be? So they got to go 2-2, right? They go 2-2, then 1-1-1. Is that how that goes?
There's no version of math where you come up with 6.5. So either way, the 1-1-1, it's every other. Yes. And
Bucks and six.
Real quick. Jokes aside, what's up with the blue court, man?
It's a beautiful color.
I don't even let that stuff get to me. I hate it, but they're going to do whatever they're going to do. I think the floor was damaged.
What should it be?
How is it damaged? Who damaged it?
They said. They said the floor was damaged. It'll be back in the playoffs. I heard it's going
to
be back soon.
It's going to go to LeBron. It's going to go to LeBron's doctor too. Like, how did the floor get damaged?
Somebody waxed it with the wrong stuff.
So when they are taking it up, they take that floor up a lot. They had a ton of events. They had two music concerts there this past couple days. They have monster truck rallies they're pulling the floor up. Their floor isn't underneath all this stuff. They have hockey events there. They have bull riding events there. I mean, this floor is pulled up, put down, pull up, pull down, pulled up, put down, pulled up, put down. I mean, I would say probably 30, 40 times a year. So,
question to me is, what's the hate on the blue? What's the problem with the blue?
That's why, Carib. Our colors are not against the color. Yeah, you can.
No, definitely can't say it against the color. Are you kidding me? Where's Kathleen Kennedy when you need her?
What are the Bucks
colors? What are the Bucks colors?
It ain't blue.
Green, white, and red.
Green, white, and red.
Yep.
Where's the red?
The red was in the 70s.
Where's the white?
There's always been a white border around their fringes.
Now it's blue.
And
they don't have a color. They have two championships.
You're wrong.
The second one they won wearing black.
But you're jerseys. Wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
They don't have a color.
I don't even ascribe to the religion of uniformism that my friend is involved in. But blue,
me and Myers
blue is disgusting. And it's just a travesty. It's just as bad as when they tried to do the purple.
Can we do another pod after this? I'm bringing all my blue Bucks gear. I'm going to be just blued out in here. I understand guys that are like purists. If you're a purist, you should be upset that there's no red. Not that this is a green team. I would love to see them just rock the Irish rainbow and just that would be great. That would be fine. But they're not doing that. They're changing colors because they can sell jerseys. And people in Wisconsin like blue. I don't know what else to tell you.
This is what we should look like. We should look like a Heineken bottle. It should be green, 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 and just a little bit of red. The swoosh should be red, just a little bit of red.
Cool.
That's our colors. We want a title looking like a Trapper Keeper, and like I can't do anything about that. It's like 47 colors, and like, so the problem with the blue is
it's like a big trampoline.
I honestly don't mind them doing these one little. Special uniforms a year, and they wear it a couple times. I really don't care. But they're trying to force this blue onto their regular color uniform.
Where's the blue and the green? On the green jersey.
They put it on there. Look. They put it on the black one. They put it on the green one. They put this blue somewhere on our regular uniforms. It's not just a one-off that stands alone, and it can be fun.
The biggest issue I have with the blue floor is that when they wear their purple uniform,
I don't care about the blue floor. They should have a purple floor.
Yeah, don't rock these purple uniforms that look halfway decent, and then put a blue floor out there. That doesn't make what are we doing? That's the most crazy color scheme ever.
That is a snapshot of the whole uniform picking committee of the Bucks. They don't know what they're doing, and it's stupid.
It's hard to watch.
I like blue, so I'll buy this crap.
It shouldn't.
The Brewers did a good job. I think the Brewers did a halfway decent job with their uniforms, and and I would have liked to see whoever did the Brewers stuff. Maybe they introduced a whole new color.
Yeah,
because they wanted to. Did they throw in a whole new color in there? Brick red or something? Harnischfager yellow. You know, did they throw a whole nother color in there? No, they did.
Harley Davidson orange.
Right. Did they throw another stupid color in there because they want to sell a new uniform? No, they just redesigned the label a little bit.
Okay, but they did do some crazy logos, though.
Sure, that's fine.
The logos have changed all the time. You've never made
sense. They change the logo all the time. You make sense. You just get really crazy about it. But I agree with you. But when you go crazy on it, I'm like, all right, it's stupid, but I don't even care what they wear. Just win.
They're terrible at their job. That's the whole point. They're terrible at their job.
They are.
I know I'm going blind, so this might be on me, but it's hard to watch the game. That floor is so saturated with the blue. It's not like a neutral kind of blue whatsoever. It stings the nostrils, if you know what I mean. Like, I can't.
It just don't match purple and blue like that.
I agree with that, Ken. I like that blue, though. Like, the blue by itself is a cool color. And so I'm cool with it. This blue this season, I like.
In sports? Okay. Think of NFL or NBA. Does anyone else have that shade of bright, vivid blue anywhere?
Maybe the Panthers slightly, but it's a little different. It's
silver and black's the muted too, even a little.
The Chargers jerseys are fire when they rock that baby blue. Let's be real.
If you had a baby blue floor, you wouldn't hear as many complaints about me.
Nope.
What?
I would
their color. They're not a blue team.
Look, I
they're don't like Tar Heels.
I don't care about the one-off uniform. I hate them trying to stick it onto their regular uniforms. Like, we're going to make this part of our regular colors. Yeah. No, it's not.
If they were going to fix anything about the green jersey right now, because that's their best jersey, we'd all agree that the green – is it the green home jersey or green away jersey?
Throwing a little stripe of purple on their uniform.
That would be the one thing you change about the greens?
You talking to me?
Yeah. What would you change about their greens?
The green uniform?
Yeah.
I would just get rid of the blue. I really don't like green, but it is what it is.
I get rid of the blue.
I hate the font. I hate the Milwaukee font.
I do too. I've long hated that.
I don't like it, but I don't hate it.
Oh. It's so elementary.
You can put all the blue you want on there. Just get rid of that font. I don't care, dude. That is just, ugh.
So you locals, is there a point in the game? Is there a point in the game where they do the bark board, or they say Bucks fans make some noise, or they say stand up, or any of this stuff from the 90s? Because I understand the whole the sound doesn't travel; it's not a big concrete glass block building, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
are they telling you guys to be loud? Because it just doesn't seem like
they most,
who's that guy? That guy.
Most of the prop guy? He got fired. He overplayed his hand and he got let go.
He said, really?
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. That's what I like heard. Word on the street. I don't know this guy, and I've only met him a few times.
He kind of looked.
I heard he got a little snippy with the wrong person in management, and they let him go. Overplayed his hand.
Well, breaking news.
That's what I heard, but I don't know for a fact. They mostly do music prompts, you know. They'll have something on the board, you know, clap, clap, cheer, get loud. They do stuff.
Okay.
But I tend to agree. It tends to be a more. I mean, those tickets are freaking expensive, and
right. The average Joe can't afford to go.
You edge off the true psychopathic fan, you know.
But again, lie to me, so. I'm sure Dave remembers this. The Bucks in the Bradley Center would lie with a meter, a sound meter that had no basis in reality. Right.
They got that.
It would just tick to the right and it'd be like make some noise. It'd get loud and they'd pump in the Metrodome sound like the Vikings and do all that. But I feel like it was effective. The
Bradley Center, that mug would have like 8,000 people and people acting like it was louder than the Fiserv Forum because you can hear those 8,000 chuckleheads being amplified on your TV.
Tickets also weren't, you know, $900 or whatever. I mean, whatever.
No, they were paying you practically to come to games. I mean, you were getting like $8 games tickets.
It's just different. It's just different now. Yeah. It's just different now.
And comparing our fan base now to Sacramento, who has stunk for, what, 25 years?
Yeah. Or since more? Since the Vlade Divac, I mean, white chocolate, Chris Webber days.
My dog. We've stuck for 35 years. We just randomly won a title in the middle of stinking because we've been all these years.
And we've been pretty good for the last.
We've been better than Sacramento.
We've done very good for the last seven years.
See, Sacramento, from my money, like the best crowd is still the Knicks because you hear them talking. Like the den of people conversing is louder than the Bucks after Bobby hits like three straight.
Dude, runners. Did you see the Miami game? There was no one in the audience.
Well, they're terrible.
It was terrible. It's like, what was it? What's their Major League Baseball team?
The Marlins
built that. The Marlins, they built that giant stupid stadium with a pool and a fish tank and be like 14 fans out there. That was a Miami Heat game the other night. Play-in game.
When we're down 0-2 to the Heat and 9 minutes are left in the first quarter and they go to the timeout, like look in the audience, you'll see women drying their hair because they just came from the beach.
For Miami.
Like they don't care about the Heat like that. They barely care with LeBron. But all right, so I don't know if this makes me feel any better, but it's good talking to all of you.
We'll be fine. Bucks will.
Fine in this series or fine in the playoffs?
Oof. Let's just get through this series.
I want the Knicks.
Oh, see, I don't like that. I don't like that story.
Well, I wouldn't even be saying it. Even if we lost today, I wouldn't be saying it. Giannis didn't look like he broke his coccyx.
Terrible on injuries are no joke, man.
Try to get all the syllables out so you didn't mix it up.
I'm gonna beep that anyway, just as
please make that the opening intro.
my neck and my back. If Giannis hadn't gone down, I would be like, no big deal. No. We'll be fine. Giannis will be back, be in a massage room, getting that butt rub. He'll be fine.
I just want to close with this. Aren't we glad we didn't trade for Donovan Mitchell or Kevin Durant when they were both available?
Donovan Mitchell is trash, man. I don't know why anybody.
Donovan Mitchell is incredible, bro.
You remember when Michael Jordan came back wearing 45? He couldn't play defense. He was half the dude he was. That's exactly what Donovan Mitchell is. Half the dude. Did you see him yesterday quit on defense? I think there was a fast break. Someone leaked out. It was off of his turnover. He was the deepest guy on offense, and somebody else, it might have been Allen, beat him down court. That dude was so mad at what's the other cat they got? Garfield, or what's the other dude, the long hair, their other shooter?
Garland.
What's that?
Darius Garland.
Yeah, he was so mad every time Garland decided he was going to run to the paint and kick it off his leg. He pouted like, man, that dude ain't winning nothing. Forget that guy.
I don't know why you're such a sports talk radio guy.
What about the Gobert trade?
That's the worst trade.
That's worse than the Donovan Mitchell.
And I'd rather, that's his name too.
Mitchell than Garland. I mean, Gobert.
We were saying back channel at the end of that Kings game that full court pass that they made was the most Drew and Chris pass I've ever seen in my life. Where it's like 8 seconds left and it's like, hey, let's throw a full court pass, and the guy had to jump 20 feet in the air to catch it and get fouled. But it was like, yeah, that's not what you want to do to save 2.5 seconds. But yeah. All right, man. All right. Hold on.
Do you need to make those more difficult, or what is your thought process on seeing Bam take those free throw line jumpers?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he got into a little bit of a rhythm, made them at a pretty good clip. And so, I think Brooks got a good feel. And, we've got to guard Adebayo better. We've got to guard their entire team better. They had twos, they had threes, they had everything tonight. So credit to them, they played well.
Sorry, back to Giannis. He left and then returned, and then you pulled him again a couple of minutes later. What did you see that you didn't like, or maybe you were caught?
Yeah, he just, wasn't moving. Yeah, I think, any good team, you have to be able to play even without your best player. And, you know, this group, you know, for various reasons, we've had to do it. You know, there's a lot of talent in the locker room. There's a lot of toughness, a lot of competitiveness. You know, so no matter who's coming out on Wednesday, you know, they'll be ready. And experience without Giannis is good for us to be able to play through guys that are confident and capable. Helps us, you know, during this.
Just the transition defense on Butler. It looked like he got out early a couple times. Adebayo got out early a couple times. What do you need to see from your guys there? I know Brooke one time, I think it was taking a three, and Bam just ran out after that.
Yeah, you know, it looked like it was an emphasis for early in the game to, you know, test the transition defense to try and get to get out and get some easy ones. And, you know, those hurt us.